Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington.
And I'm Ayan Bior, also in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, December 23rd, 2015. The State Department weighs in on the SPLMIO's return to Juba.
Their return marked an important milestone in implementation of the peace agreement and expressed our hope that it augurs well for future cooperation between the government and the opposition.
And another roadside attack in eastern Equatoria State.
They just hide themselves on the bus without stopping the vehicle. They start shooting us in the vehicle. They shoot us from up and the driver didn't stop.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus.
The U.S. State Department says it welcomes the return of SPLMIO officials to Juba, saying it's an important step toward implementing the August peace agreement. Andrew Burnett is a spokesperson for the Office of the U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan.
The United States welcomed the return to Juba on Monday of representatives from the SPLM in opposition and felt their return marked an important milestone in implementation of the peace agreement and expressed our hope that it augurs well for future cooperation between the government and the opposition as they begin to start work towards the implementation of the peace agreement.
You also mentioned in a statement that was released that, many important but difficult issues lie ahead. What kinds of things are you talking about?
Well, we're meaning now it is time for them to start the work, working closely together with and in coordination with the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Committee and its chairperson, President Festus Mohai, to implement all of the aspects of the agreement that are laid out in the text for them to begin the joint mechanisms to establish a ceasefire, initiate their reforms documented and established in the agreement, and form the transitional government of national unity.
And so I would take it that at this point, at least, the State Department is pretty confident that this peace agreement will be implemented at some point in the near future.
Well, this is a positive step that that they're making some progress. You can't make progress to implement if the parties are not together talking to each other and sitting and working through these difficult issues. And so this is a first step to where the two sides have peacefully agreed and moved to start these discussions in Juba. And so it's an important day and step. There are more members of the opposition yet to arrive in the coming weeks and continue this process, ideally leading to the formation of a transitional government in the coming weeks.
That's Andrew Burnett, spokesman for the Office of the U.S. Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan. He was speaking to me earlier today. The U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan provides funding for this program. South Sudan's vice president says the government is committed to implementing the peace agreement. James Wani Iga says the government will work with the opposition to ensure that a new transitional government is in place by the end of January, as called for in the August peace deal. Addressing Catholic clerics in Juba today, Wani Iga says his government is on the right path toward ensuring that peace, in fact, returns to the country.
All of us must stand very proud for this peace. And I congratulate the church for since the eruption of this conflict, it has really been mobilizing the Christians and mobilizing even the international community for peace. In the Bible, we all remember that when men gather in the name of Christ, whatever you ask for will be given. So it has been given, peace is given. So let us stand firm to support it. Warriors. Absolutely.
The government and SPLMIO officials, civil society groups, and former detainees yesterday kicked off the first meeting in Juba to discuss unresolved issues over implementing the peace deal and permanent ceasefire. Speaking at the same function, Agri Tisa Sabuni, the presidential advisor on economic affairs, says as part of implementing that deal, the government has had to embark on economic reforms, such as the devaluation of the South Sudanese pound against the dollar.
We cannot talk about implementing the peace agreement with any archaic, troublesome exchange rate system that only allows a few people to benefit at the expense of everybody else.
Sabuni, a former finance minister, says the new policy will show the rest of the world that the government is committed to reforming the country.
You do that, you buy the goodwill of our development partners, you buy their moral support, you buy their political support. And if your act is well and properly done, you may also secure funding.
Wani Iga says the central bank will supply the market with sales of U.S. dollars, but says the devaluation of the currency alone is not enough to revive the local economy.
We as a government are encouraging the South Sudanese East to enter into food production immediately, now that there is a environment of peace. And alongside this agriculture is forestry. Let us enter into it. Because agriculture and forestry, we can now go and begin to sell this Arabic.
South Sudan this month devalued its currency by 84%. The central bank said it will allow the pound to trade freely by adopting a parallel black market rate of 18.5 from the 2.9 against the U.S. dollar previously. Megumi Davis Rakowinj prepared that report from Juba.
Local leaders say at least three people were killed and two others wounded yesterday when gunmen attacked a vehicle traveling on the Torit-Kopeta Road in eastern Equatoria State. Dimo Silva Arelo reports for VOA from Torit.
Authorities say the vehicle was carrying more than six construction workers from Budi County to the eastern Equatoria State capital, Torit, when it was attacked by a known gunman. They say the car attack occurred about 10 o'clock yesterday morning between Kimatong and Camp 15, an area located on the Torit-Kopeta Highway. Erickson Taban was shot in the stomach, in one of his legs, and in one hand in the attack. Speaking from his hospital bed at Torit Civil Hospital, Taban described what happened.
They just hide themselves on the bus without stopping the vehicle. They start shooting us in the vehicle. They shoot us from up, and the driver didn't stop up to Camp 15. And then they give us some first aid there in Camp 15. And then the ambulance went and bring us here.
Taban says three of his colleagues died at the scene. Okweno David, another survivor of the attack, was shot in the left leg. He says he did not see the attackers.
Unknown people, we don't know those people. They shoot us with a gun. Even we don't see who saw them. Because I died in the forest. My left leg was broken three times.
Torit Civil Hospital officials describe the condition of the wounded as being relatively stable, but say one of them may be transferred to Juba Teaching Hospital for further treatment. Dr. John Isaac Nartiso is Torit Civil Hospital's medical director.
The number of cases that we have received are three, but one was brought dead. So three were received and admitted in the wards with injuries in the legs and injuries in abdomen. One was shot in the abdomen, sustained injuries in the abdomen and the leg. The other two were they sustained injuries in the leg. But all of them, according to the medical reports we received from the doctors attending to them, is that all of them are stable.
The attack comes a day after Eastern Equatoria State Governor Luis Lobong Lojore said in his Christmas message that state security personnel are doing all they can to secure the lives and property of residents during the festive season. Governor Lobong appealed to his people to stop killing one another and to stop cattle raids.
I do appeal to the entire people and the church leadership to actively take a major role in educating our population on the negative aspect of cattle thefts, cattle wrestling, and killing of one another, and all those things that negatively do not contribute to the development of our nation as a whole, and Eastern Equatorial State in particular. We must continue to enlighten them on the need to respect a person's right to live as intended by God, the right to own properties, as enshrined in our national and state constitutions.
The incident is just the latest in a series of attacks by a known gunman on civilians traveling the highway. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
Prices of commodities have shot up in markets around Bor this Christmas season as residents prepare to celebrate the year-end holidays. Prices of clothes and food are higher due to the devaluation of the South Sudanese pound and the ongoing political conflict in the country. Most people in the area say they cannot afford to buy gifts or any other thing, including basic commodities. Jacob Achek has this report for VOA from Nimule.
Ayan! What are you?
The sounds of people shopping in Bor just a few days before Christmas. As Christmas approaches, many South Sudanese buy clothes for their loved one. But this year, most citizens could not afford to buy gifts. Prices for food, clothes, and basic necessity is skyrocketing this year after the devaluation of South Sudan currency by the national government. Tabisa Akwanyigarang, a widow who owned a small shop in Bor, says she couldn't buy clothes for her four children because of the high prices. Speaking in Dinka, Garang says everything is now high. What we used to buy for £20 is being sold at £150. And what used to be bought for £5 is now being sold at £300. She says things are really bad. She could not afford to buy clothes for Christmas. Garang says she is selling her fish in Marol Market is to get something so her children may eat in January. Bor resident Philip Quach says devaluation of South Sudanese currency allowed traders who increase commodities so that they can make a decent profit.
The price of the commodities have really gone up, especially the basic commodities, something like foodstuff, you know, buying clothes also. You know, things have really gone up and it is making life hard in Bor. Of course, there's a very big difference, you know. Looking at the prices, current prices and the way they were before, you can actually see the difference because of the devaluation of our currency. This has really made people to charge things in a very expensive way.
Paul Deng Makwach, a member of St. Paul Anglican Church in Bor, called on the South Sudanese government to put more effort into improving the local economy so the people can afford basic commodities.
Last week, I came to the market. I was looking for the microphone for the celebration of Christmas in the church. And I got it by 500 South Sudanese pound. And then I went back to the church. I informed the congregation so that they should collect money and then they can buy that microphone. When they collect money today, I came to the market. I got it at 750 South Sudanese pound, in which things have become expensive in the market.
Sarah Garang Agnes, who owns a small place where she sells tea in Bor, says the damage caused during the war make life difficult. Speaking in Arabic, Garang says now if you go to the market, you would not get anything because £1 buy you nothing. And now, with Christmas, she says the children's clothes are very expensive. You buy one item at £300 and shoes at £150. Nothing is at a low prices anymore. She says the government is not helping the civil populations. Last week, the South Sudan government devalued the South Sudan currency to be more in line with the prices of dollar in the black market. And on Wednesday, the Nile Petroleum Company raised the cost of a litre of fuel from £6 to £22 after devaluation of pound by the central bank. For VOA News, I'm Jacob Achex from Nimule, Eastern Equatoria Estates.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A Human Rights Watch observer says abuses against innocent civilians are rampant in at least one part of the country. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Can you remember a time when you were really embarrassed?
I do remember when my dad, when I was still young, I went in the house where he put his things, like the shop's soft things. So I took the small fish, mukene. I went and started playing with it. When he came back from the garden, he beat me seriously.
Well, I remember one day I was in a conference, so, and in the conference people were not allowed to talk. Therefore, a certain colleague of mine tried to talk to me, and I was given that embarrassment, so they told me that I should leave the place and maybe take some other time.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Shockingly common, that's how one Human Rights Watch researcher describes abuses against civilians in South Sudan's Unity State after a recent visit to the area. Senior researcher Gian Henry says one way to stop further atrocities from occurring is to implement an arms embargo in South Sudan. She says that will help stop the flow of weapons into the country, which are ultimately used against innocent civilians.
The government and the opposition are fighting still, but also it has morphed into a lower level conflict between different youth groups, mainly motivated by cattle herding and revenge from cattle looting. But all of the attacks described involved a lot of other abuses, like killing and injury and forcing people to flee their homes. But what I also found was that there have been skirmishes and, you know, conflicts basically between government and opposition or other armed actors in Western Equatoria, and to a certain extent in Central and Eastern Equatoria. There have been some incidents in the past few weeks. Politically, the situation seems a tiny bit more optimistic now because the opposition delegation has arrived in Juba, and we're hearing that people feel a bit more optimistic. But the situation on the ground is still incredibly concerning, and we should not be assuming that it's over.
When human rights abuses do occur, accountability for those crimes should follow. You said that the leaders have the power to stop the suffering, but do you think they have the will to do so?
It did not look like it when I was there because I was seeing so much suffering. I was seeing so much deprivation and so many people reporting fresh abuses. So by those indications, I would say, nope, it did not look like the parties had the will. So we have to be aware of that. Now, in terms of accountability, one of the ways that accountability could happen is what is envisioned in the peace agreement, which is a hybrid court with South Sudanese and international personnel who would then set up a special tribunal, a hybrid court, to try crimes that occurred during this conflict using the international standards. The other thing we've done, which is related to accountability, is to press for an arms embargo on South Sudan. We believe an arms embargo is still absolutely relevant because the more weapons come into this country, the more likely it is people will be abused by them, as has happened for the last 2 years.
As you pointed out, members of the civil society are wounded because they are, in many cases, not just the casualties of war, but they're being targeted by both rebel and government forces. How does that frustrate efforts to pull South Sudan out of reoccurring conflict?
Well, civil society is very important in South Sudan, and one of the problems is that the government, especially in Juba, has not protected the freedoms of expression and assembly that are needed for a healthy, vibrant civil society. There is an environment of no freedom of speech, no authentic expression and dialogue in Juba. There's a lot that needs to happen in Juba at the government level to improve the situation and to make all aspects of the society, all voices, all communities feel like they are part of the same country, that they belong, that they are not being excluded by some elite group that's making all the decisions.
That was Gian Henry, senior researcher of the Human Rights Watch. She was speaking to me earlier today from New York.
The former governor of Western Equatoria State, Joseph Benghazi Bakasoro, is under security detention once again in Juba. As VOA fellow Tito Justin reports, at least one of Bakasoro's family members says she is worried that Bakasoro will not be able to be back in time to celebrate the Christmas festival or even perhaps the New Year's holiday with his family.
Joseph Benghazi Bakasoro was arrested yesterday. It's the second time that Bakasoro is being detained by security officials in 3 months since he was fired by President Kiir in August. Dodo Bakasoro is ex-Governor Bakasoro's sister. They lived together before his detention. Dodo says Bakasoro left his home yesterday at 3 p.m. after being called to attend a meeting with South Sudan National Security Service officials in Jebel. A short time later, his driver returned home and told Bakasoro's sister that security officials said Bakasoro would be staying with them. Dodo says late in the evening, Bakasoro's bodyguard was sent to his home to pick up additional clothes and medications which he was being taken.
Since then, up to this time as I'm talking with you, I have not got any other information about him, the reason as why he's arrested, or even making any communication with Bakasoro. He has not done that at all up to this time.
In August, Bakasoro was detained by the same security agents for 5 days. After he was released, he told South Sudan in Focus that he still doesn't know why he was detained. He promised to continue working with the government, but Bakasoro was among the 4 sacked governors who have not yet been given another job by the national government. Dodo says friends and family members are worried about Bakasoro's safety and are sad he will miss the Christmas celebration if he is not released.
They are really challenging him, they are intimidating him, they are humiliating him, and to make matters so to me, this Christmas is not going to be for me a good one. Even family members, friends who know him, they are not happy about this kind of intimidation which is going on. We pray that as I'm hearing that he will be released, when we don't know.
Bakasoro was a democratically elected governor. He won his election in 2010 after he was sacked in August. The violence in Western Equatoria State escalated in most parts of the state. There is still no official statement from the government on why Bakasoro has been detained twice in 3 months after he was fired. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Washington.
From Western Equatoria, we move to Kenya, where officials know the general identity of a group that attacked a bus earlier this week. Islamist gunmen ambushed a bus traveling from Nairobi to Mandera, Kenya on Monday and demanded that passengers separate into groups of Christians and Muslims. But Muslim passengers refused these orders, protecting their Christian counterparts. Jill Craig has a reaction from Nairobi.
Gunmen believed to be Al-Shabaab supporters shot at a bus in North Kenya's Mandera County Monday, killing 2 people. Nairobi tour driver Boniface Mbili says these Al-Shabaab attacks are causing anxiety and hurting the country's tourism industry.
Once they attack there, they bring a lot of scare to the country and to the economy. Because now people will be afraid of traveling, you know? Yeah? Because we are not safe. Anywhere you can't say you are safe. Because they can do it anywhere, you know? Especially in our transport sector.
But the passengers aboard the bus attacked Monday showed unusual bravery. Witnesses say some Muslim passengers gave headscarves to non-Muslims to help them conceal their identities, likely remembering a previous attack in Mandera last year when militants killed 28 non-Muslims taken off a bus. According to local officials, the attackers ordered everyone off the bus and to separate into 2 groups of Muslims and non-Muslims. But passengers refused, telling the militants to kill them all. The gunmen soon left. Nairobi resident Mahamud Mohammed says this show of solidarity demonstrates the Kenyan spirit.
And from now, we the Muslims should be the forefront to fight terrorism. You don't need to kill a brother of mine or my teacher or a doctor who is treating you. Somebody is coming, then separating you into 2 different religions, killing one and leaving other. That one is a coward attack, and the Muslim community must confront that. What they did was a heroic, and we really welcome it, and that is what we believe on.
Mohammed says the attack was un-Islamic.
Islam has nothing to do with terrorism. And attacking an innocent person, it's not permitted in Islam. According to the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everybody should be a brother's keeper. So those attacks have nothing to do with Islam.
Al-Shabaab has staged a number of deadly attacks in Kenya since 2011, when the government sent troops into Somalia to fight the Al-Qaeda-linked group. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
Here is a recap of today's top stories. South Sudan's vice president says the government is committed to implementing the peace agreement. James Wani-Igga says the government will work with the opposition to ensure that a new transitional government is in place by the end of January, as called for in the August peace agreement. Addressing Catholic clerics in Juba today, Wani-Igga says his government is on the right track toward ensuring that peace returns to South Sudan. He said, "All of us must stand firm for this peace, and I congratulate the church, for since the eruption of this conflict, it has been mobilizing the Christians and mobilizing the international community for peace." Local leaders say at least three people were killed and two others were injured yesterday when gunmen attacked a vehicle traveling on the Torret Capeta Road in eastern Equatoria State. The identity of the gunman is unknown. The incident occurred about 10 o'clock yesterday morning. And finally, prices of commodities have shot up in markets around Bor this Christmas season, as they have with other places around the country. Residents are preparing to celebrate the year-end holidays. Prices of clothes and food are higher due to the devaluation of the South Sudanese pound and the ongoing political conflict. Most people there say they cannot afford to buy gifts for their loved ones. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's our show for this Wednesday. We leave you with the song Celebration by Ruth Matiang.
Shangilie ni bwana, shangilie ni bwana, shangilie ni bwana. Amesha zaliwa, shangilie ni bwana, shangilie ni bwana, shangilie ni bwana. Amesha zaliwa, wala la la, 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 wala la la. La, la, la. I woke up one morning and realized that I was new. Shangilie, Shangilie. A savior was born in my sins, he washed away. Shangilie, wonderful counselor, mighty God. Shangilie, Shangilie. A savior is here, let's celebrate him today. Ay, 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 ay. Shangilie, Nibwana. Shangilie, Nibwana. Shangilie, Nibwana. Amesha zaliwa. Shangilie, Nibwana. Shangilie, Nibwana. Shangilie, Nibwana. Amesha zaliwa. Wala la la, wala la la la. Wala la la, wala la la. Wala la la, wala la la la. Wala la la. La, la, la. I woke up one morning and realized that I was new. Shangilie, Shangilie. A savior was born in my sins, he washed away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. Shangilie, Shangilie. A savior is here, let's celebrate him today. Aya, aya, aya. Shangilie, Nibwana. Shangilie, Nibwana. Shangilie, Nibwana. Amesha zaliwa. Shangilie, Nibwana. Shangilie, Nibwana. Shangilie, Nibwana. Amesha zaliwa. Shangilie, Shangilie, Nibwana. Yesu amesha zaliwa. Shangilie ni Bwana, Shangilie ni Bwana, Shangilie ni Bwana. Amesha zaliwa. Let's celebrate our God. Let's celebrate our God. Let's celebrate our God. For he's born today. Shangilie ni Bwana, Shangilie ni Bwana.
We've been listening to Ruth Mathiong with the song Celebration. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
And I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Thanks for listening. We hope you join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America. Shangiliye ni bwana.